Blog Talk Radio.
I don't own the rights to this music, but it's the Grassroots Mouthpiece Show. Let's go.
Is Marcus there?
Bringing voices to power. Grassroots Mouthpiece.
bringing voices to power. Grassroots Mouthpiece.
Okay, we got our guest on. I don't think she can hear us, but we can hear her.
I can
you
hear
there?
You.
Can you hear us?
Yeah, okay. I'm here. I got knocked off, called back in, trying it again.
Okay. I was just telling people about dialysis advocates and how you guys advocate for patients nationwide for the rights in the field of dialysis. Could you tell us a little bit more about, you know, the organization and yourself and what your mission?
Well, I'm a former dialysis worker, and this is the only medical illness that is passed by Congress that everyone is entitled to, which means Medicare CMS pays for everybody's treatment. What has happened is that it's passed in 72, but it gave the physicians the opportunity and the immunity from the Stark Law, which meant they could profit off their patients. Now add in self-policing, which is the industry that has proven during the 2000 hearings we had that they are not keeping statistics. So let's give them another chance. And it's cost a lot of lives due to this fact, because if a patient goes anywhere, be it civil rights, be it ADA, be it to your congressman or to your senator, it goes back to HHS. It goes back to CMS, which is the payer of Medicare, and then it goes to the oversight, which is them. So I became an advocate because as a worker, I morally and ethically could not work and see what was happening to my patients. So that started it. We had a hearing in 2000, and this industry is strictly corrupt. We have patients terminated for complaining about care, which was their right according to the federal regulations, and nothing happens to them. DaVita has close to $2 billion in fraud on taxpayers' money, and the government, and knowing that this granule flow was killing patients, they were fined, I think, $389 million in fraud. But nobody was held accountable, and how many patients have we lost? So I've been doing this for 22 years, going on 22 years, and the government has done nothing, and the government is well aware of these patients that are being terminated on false charges, and they don't even have, as a patient, a right to say this isn't true, or give their records in many cases with false characters, character assassinations. So it's been...
Okay, what are the... If I can get in here right quick, what are some of these characterizations that you said that they're doing? What are some of the things that... Some of the tactics that this system uses?
Well, this is the only place, not like any other disease or illness where, like, let's say you have cancer, you can choose where you go. When you go to the emergency room or to your nephrologist and are you are given the diagnosis of renal failure, you're their patient. You just can't walk across the street and get into another unit. So they've taken that away. Plus, to keep patients in control, they have behavioral contracts, even though they're not true. They have, and these were developed from the network, which is the oversight, and Medicare. on how to terminate a patient correctly and how to do a behavioral contract. Behavioral contract, they can write anything they want. Some people, some patients are put in their records. So when they go anywhere else to try and get into another clinic after being termination, when you got a behavioral contract, you're on your way out the door. So they call police on them, their private businesses. That's another tactic they use. They hire armed guards and police officers, off-duty police officers, because they're so afraid of these so-called patients that have done nothing, but they want them gone, and and they're illegal. So when our government can give contracts and allow contracts to keep patients in order, there's something wrong with that. And you don't have a right to a hearing, and you have a loss of life. Now, it's life-saving, so if you're terminated from care for any reason they dream up, we find a lot of false accusations, character assassinations that aren't true. So once they get you out the door, you usually go back to the same nephrology group and company, usually, because they have the contract for that hospital. You can only be treated when you're near death.
So this is something that's nationwide, not just located in a few states. They're doing this to patients all over the United States.
All over the United States we do, and we charge nothing. We have the NAACP that just passed a resolution to help us get this out also, to help change the laws. We work a lot with civil rights groups. I could tell you stories. I had one patient. I have one in New York now that's an attorney that just got terminated. From DaVita.
Wow.
And it was an illegal termination, but it doesn't matter if it's an illegal termination. How does one fight when one does not have their strength? They're just trying to survive. She was terminated. It was done at a higher level. It wasn't the doctor's signature. Her personal doctor's signature is not there. You could tell very clearly that it's computer-generated signatures.
Right.
So we're fighting for, pardon?
No, I was just going to say the doctor probably didn't want to have his name anywhere near that.
Because
isn't
it's
the
wrong.
Goal do no harm?
Yes, but that's one. We have two doctors that have done that, because if you're a nephrologist, they always say, Arlene, the nephrologist is immune. The nephrologist there's no new nephrologists going into practice. Well, the reason they're not, one reason, is that they have associations, they have medical clinics that are their nephrology group. So I even have a letter from Vanderbilt Hospital saying that none of his partners will dialyze this patient. So you just don't get
terminated
out of a clinic.
You get blackballed.
And the blackball. Oh, yes. Well, the reason they blackball you, patients are not allowed to get their records. And if we push the records, we get 1, 9, 14, 17. I'm sorry, I can count 1 to 17. There's a lot of patients' pages missing. From my understanding, the Supreme Court ruled that all medical records belong to the patient. These patients are getting one size fits all, poor care, and we have the highest mortality rates in the organized world. And we pay the most for care that's going to investors and profits.
Yeah. So, I know you concentrated on that, but have you did any research, or have you come across anything how people in countries who have free health care, as such as, you know, in the debate of this election year, do people in countries who have free health care, are they getting quality dialysis?
Absolutely.
Representation and help?
They have a right to complain. You only have nurses working on you, which brings that and the best of care. In the United States, you could have somebody changing your oil, and they will be hired by these companies as earn as you learn, which means they have no medical practice. They could work anywhere, cab drivers, no matter what profession, no medical background. They will train you on the job, and you have a year and a half in order to take the certification test. Now, these are human lives, medical procedure. They don't know how to stick, but if they harm a patient, well, they own their own vascular surgery. So it's all hidden. It's all hidden. And then they own their laboratories, their pharmaceuticals. And the thing is, they own the machines, the tubing, the dialysis, which is the artificial kidney, to sell back to the government. So it's a cash cow for them. And our patients have no rights.
Yeah. But okay, and this is another thing, too, because it's on the debate here in Alabama. And I know in places across the country, such as Florida, California, and other places, they have access to cannabis. Now, I have read some research that diabetes is associated with high levels of fasting insulin and insulin resistance, and a low level of high-density lipoprotein cholesterol. And this study was a five-year study that included like 4,600 participants, and they found that regular cannabis users have 16% lower fasting insulin levels than individuals who have never used cannabis. So have you seen any of that type of research? Because
we're having
a discussion here in Alabama for medical cannabis.
Right. Well, when I hear personally, I know Dr. Bear, which I will put you in contact with, which is a Canadian nephrologist. And he's on our board. I think his bio is on the website. He is actively helping get the United States to give proper care to the patients. Now, when I hear Medicare for All, I kind of cringe personally, because this is a Medicare program that they let self-police. And who are you going to complain to get any kind of resolution?
That's true. Okay,
Go on, Marcus. Sorry.
No, you know, go ahead. That's how a discussion is over the radio. I like to go back and forth. I was just going to ask you to tell the people how they can help your organization, how they can follow you, and how they can keep up with you. You know, give me some of the social media information, like, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, any of these ways, the website where people can contact you guys.
Well, we're doing the website. We're reorganizing, but it's still up. It's www.dialysisadvocates.com, plural. Our Facebook is Dialysis Advocates, and that seems to be, and there's some stories on there. There's a Senate hearing on there. There's a lot of information on there, but I hate to paint a grim picture. There is an artificial kidney that is coming out soon. It's in clinical studies. It looks like... The inventor was from University of California, San Francisco. Well, he got funding. They got funding for it. And So now it appears the industry wants to go into the transplant industry. The cash cow here may hopefully stop.
Yes.
But
They're going to make it hard.
No, it's already in clinical trials. And we are pushing for that.
The industry
and,
is going to fight back. We know that.
No, the industry is going to, there's a lot of things coming down, Marcus, which I'm not free to talk about now. But because I don't want
to
tip my. They're going to embrace it. But we have much more coming down. We have a lot going on that's going to blow this industry apart. They tried to block me from the legal authorization of advocating. Well, they're in violation of the federal law. So they changed the law. All the networks, the oversight, now they have patient rights and responsibilities. So you have your patient right. They say complain about care, whatever. And then when you complain about care, you're out the door pretty much. Or if you turn another worker in, they all stick together. So this will stop. And there's no standard of care for dialysis. They make their own policies, each clinic. And as far as the technicians, you can't even get a hairdressing license without going to school for approximately so many hours, about 9 months, taking you have to go in front of a panel and show your skills and a written test. Here, you have 18 months, and you can't tell in most of the clinics that you don't want that person touching you. And let me tell you, they do a lot of harm. Does the government care?
Mm-hmm.
No. I have the way up to each HHS secretary. I also have Patrick Conway, which is the chief medical officer, that doesn't want to be involved. Doesn't want to be involved. Doesn't care. That's why, in my opinion, he doesn't want to be involved. Then I have a CMS handler. So they got a paperwork as far as advocating. This is supposed to be a dark secret. So I advocate, and they say, well, Arlene, I have a patient who's in crisis, and each one of these networks, I had to have their paperwork. I couldn't use another network's logo on top of it. So they came up with a brilliant idea that they're going to come up with CMS, where every single network, which is the oversight, could honor Save Me Time, right? Well, guess what?
Right.
What they did was a legal maneuver. When I put that paperwork in with the authorization from the patient, it went up to Crystal Russell first. Now it's Todd Johnson that is my handler. He sends it back to the network, and they don't have to get back to me because legally, they had a loophole, and they told me we found a legal loophole, which meant they go right directly to the network and nobody contacts a legal advocate.
Wow.
So that's why we got voted in with it's filthy, and the investors are Warren Buffett and DaVita.
Well, that's good. That's good to have the backing of people like that could really get the message out.
No, they have the backing of Warren Buffett. He's on.
I thought you said Warren Buffett was backing you guys.
No, he's investing in these companies and getting money off of them. They make billions of dollars a year. So if we can get the best investors out.
In the end, that's what this is what it's all about. Number one, it's about control. Number two, it is about money.
Mm-hmm. And what do the patients get?
Death and misery and a family, discombobulated, because when, these things happen, it's going to affect the whole family, not just that person that's going through that disease, but it's going to affect the entire family.
Right, but a lot of families, when the patient comes home, and this is a message I hope everybody hears who knows someone on dialysis, is when they come and they complain, and they're like, well, what did you do wrong? They're dealing with the disease too, the family.
Right, right, right.
But listen to your loved one because they are telling the truth. They own
so
you.
When, mm-hmm. Tell us about the component of this organization that might deal with something if someone has some legal issues. Do y'all handle it? Do y'all have a group of lawyers that they all refer people to when they have been violated? Tell us about that part of
my first job is to save the patient because the patient is no good if their health fails. So I use civil rights. I've had to go to prosecutors because that's the only way that you can break the chain of the secret is to go to your U.S. Attorney General, put in a complaint, and they have to legally investigate it. These see a lot of this stuff. The clinics own the paperwork. They own what they put in the computer. And when we see
That's my next question. That was my next question. Once you initiate the legal part of it, how hard have y'all found it still very hard to get, like you said, the records and the information, or after you file it, then you have access?
Well, it's going to go through discovery. We are talking to attorneys nationwide and worldwide about doing a class action. This definitely is civil rights violations. When you can't have the right to say no, when you have the right for your own medical records and you're told no, or you're given part of them, and they belong to the patient legally, patients... It's like I said in the sanitarian testimony. If you terminate a patient, what does that empty chair tell every other patient in that clinic? And that's not to complain, this is what happens.
And we don't really care about.
No, they don't. No, the staff. And the thing is, there's no ratio. When I worked, it was 3 to a worker. Now, because there's no standard of care, now it can be as many as they want. The one company I worked with threw in an extra patient. So when you have to do a blood pressure, you have 15 minutes to get a patient on, 15 minutes to turn around the machine, rinse it out, and get ready for the next patient. You actually scoot that chair across the room because it's breaking up the assembly line. When we did 3-to-1, I knew my patients. I knew their family. You had time to, you know, a cup of coffee, because that's the only time really a dialysis patient can drink. It's when you're on the machine, you calibrate it to where it will take it off. Well, they don't do that anymore.
Uh-huh.
They used to give bouillon when the warm bouillon, if your blood pressure was low, but that costs money, so they don't do that anymore. They just fill you up with bag of saline, which puts on more fluid weight.
Right, right. Tell us one of the, you don't have to say any names or what state or whatever, but just tell us as much details as you can about the worst case that you have come across since you've been doing this advocacy.
That would take a whole show. I think the worst one was in Oklahoma when they accidentally put on a do not resuscitate, DNR. Well, they just slipped her chart into that. So she started coding. They called the ambulance and told them you know, take her time. She's actively dying. Throw up some screens around her. Well, they came. They put her back in the ambulance. They went into Arby's and ate lunch, and she was still alive. So they went back, had lunch. They went back to the clinic. She had died, passed, and they realized the mistake when they went and got the paperwork. That's one.
Wow.
The family sued on that one.
That's
other
terrible.
One.
She just died abandoned and alone.
All
like that.
By herself in an ambulance, and they were eating lunch. And because once you start CPR, you cannot stop CPR. So I guess you go and have lunch. But anyhow, the other one was she's a forensic document inspector for a company, a huge company. And she noticed that there was a 30,000, this is a Fresenius, there was a $30,000 medication, and that wasn't her signature. See, I suspected robot signing because when patients come in, they're signing. So
right.
She said that's not her signature. She should know, right? Well, they turned around, harassed her, intimidated. Her husband called me and said, Arlene, this is her blood pressure. I said, they should be calling 911. You need to call 911. So 911 came. This is Texas, Fresenius. And they came, and the nurses said, oh, you know, this is normal for her. And I told her husband, you need to call the police. She is still alive today, and she never needed dialysis.
Wow, that's criminal.
Right. Well, that one we're going after. And then the other one that I can think of, there's so many of them. The other one that really bothered me was this gentleman ended up with black mold in the clinic. One of the workers told him they lost a patient. He was intubated, and the worker was put in the hospital. So when he got out, he was lucky enough to survive it, and he got out, and he went to another company. This company contacted him and said, you know what, come back. We don't have black mold, but we will take care of you. He did. He contacted me 2 years to the date that he had a termination letter. He was accused of trying to run over a worker. And the fact was, he didn't drive for 10 years. He was above the knee amputee. See, they make these
wow.
up, and I think the saddest one, this was a DaVita, Terry, this one haunted me so bad, was he was terminated for complaining about care, and I got him, I said, you need to stay alive until we get you to the clinic. You're going to have to do the emergency only this once. Don't let him win by not going. So he went. I got them to stay. This is DaVita. Got them to stay, the staff, to dialyze him. They let him strip down naked, put on a hospital gown. Everybody else got to go up in their regular clothes. So he left. That's what
uh-huh.
he did. He left because he wasn't going to be humiliated. I said,
right.
Now is not the time, go back. So I got him to where they were going to dialyze him. He waited there 2 hours in another gown, and the staff had left.
Wow.
There was no one to dialyze him. I could go on and on with what I see. I have a woman now that is operating in the yellow, which means she's not getting dialysis, and she had the last thing placed was her groin. That was going due to these untrained technicians. She had no grafts left, so we got involved, and they put in a, because it went, and they put in a chest catheter. Well, she was so infected, it popped out the catheter. And then they put a fistula in her arm, which they knew wasn't going to work because her veins. I had to call today and said, this is, I'm not taking another 2 days waiting. It's like they're dragging, I feel, they're dragging, so these patients will die.
Yeah.
And the best advice I can give any patient or family member is get a forensic. Just put down on that you want a forensic autopsy because they removed the body. I mean, this sounds macabre, but it's sinister, but it's true.
It is. It's very sinister. It's very sinister. And
so,
calculated.
And the thing is,
like
our government
said,
knows
to
this. Well, because they have a, we've heard, we can't prove it, but we've heard, but I think we can get the documents. Someone's going to send them. If they have a weed and feed committee, who do we keep and who do we not keep?
Right.
And I think that's with our attorney in New York. Is she, her termination was done at a higher level, which means corporate to me.
Right. That's what it's exactly what it sounds like.
Right. Corporate. So this isn't about healthcare, but the best way you can protect yourself is to say that you want a forensic. That freezes you to where they, if you suspect foul play, then you have recourse. I know this,
right.
I'm just trying to warn people. I'm not trying to scare you. There are good clinics.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, I'm telling this year, it will be over. By the end of the year, I've been promised this is going to hit big time. And so who's going to lose? The investors.
Right. I'm pretty sure some of them will get the information and they'll get their money out in time or shift it and probably already started pulling it out. And we should recognize it the moment people start really.
Well, it looks like we may get RICO, which means some people are going to do jail time. This is murder.
Yeah,
we also have patients forced on hospice. I had a case in North Carolina just recently.
It's manslaughter at the least.
The thing is, nobody has the documents, but by becoming an advocate, and they thought I was really stupid, I've got over 80,000 documents of the most incriminating evidence on these, and the government. Because otherwise, they make phone calls.
The only way you're going to make some change,
we don't take.
Like
I don't
what
get.
We do here. You have to shine
the light.
You're not going to get any changes until you shine that light.
And we charge nothing. I've not taken a dime. I do this out of our own pockets. So it's not a money maker for
us. I was going to see if you guys travel the country or you guys available for speaking engagements in other states.
Absolutely. I would, depending on where it's at, I would go because this message needs to get out. And I have to, I cannot say what I'm saying if I could not prove it.
Right. Well, we've been talking with Arlene Mullen of Dialysis Advocates, which is an advocate group for patients nationwide for rights in the field of dialysis. And it's the only advocacy for patients with dialysis. It's a place that is not run by the industry. It is a place where the patients are allowed to have a free voice, free from retaliation, fear, and dismissal. You know, they use lawyers when necessary to protect their patients, and patients and healthcare workers can go to the website, and they can go to the website, and everything can be kept confidential. Their phone numbers and facts are located on their webpage, which is www.dialysisadvocates.com. Okay, any closing remarks you want to make?
I just want to thank you for allowing us this opportunity. And I also want to thank Marcel Reed of the Whistleblower Summit, which are helping get the word out, and Marty Oakley, which is the Whistleblower Summit Radio. That is a place where, and like I said, any patient, it's free of charge. Any worker, I send you right up to the attorneys. And,
yeah. And I want to give a shout out to Chili Mo's. I want to give a shout out to Chili Mo's for
that was my next
for linking
one.
Us up.
Yeah, he was
and,
my next one. He's
right.
I cannot thank him enough, and without his help, we would not be this far. I've known Chili for a long time, and he is a true, true believer. He's changed my life a lot just with calming me down and telling me I'm not controlling anything. It's also a coalition of a lot of organizations that are helping us too.
Right, right.
But Chili's my buddy.
Yeah, he's been an inspiration, and he's a powerful voice. You know, I talk to a lot of people, and just like you are, you know, I can tell I'm a good read of people. If I wouldn't be where I'm at in my activism and everything that I do, some really great people out there doing a lot of great work, organizations as well, just like Arlene Mullen is doing with the Dialysis Advocates, and like Chili Most is doing with his show. We're going to keep on bringing people information, you know, with facts and receipts. But I look forward to linking up with other people that you may know, especially on the cannabis, since that's a real hot issue here in Alabama.
Yeah.
And I've done some of the research on that. I'd love to talk to somebody about that so I can, we can get some information into the people here in Alabama.
I started in Alabama.
Okay.
My first case was in Alabama.
A lot of work to be done.
Well, anyhow, thank you so much, and thank you, Adi. I don't mean to scare you, but
no,
knowledge is power.
No, it definitely is power. It definitely is power, and you got to use it. You got to use it for the greater good, just like you guys are doing. And with that, and always, you're welcome to come back on the show if you have any new information, like these new artificial kidney trials that.
Oh yeah, I'm pretty jazzed up about those. And also, donate your organs.
The implant beginning this year. Yeah.
Yeah, and everyone should really think about donating. You can donate a kidney and still live a normal life. There are so many people
right.
that are tied down to these machines. And it's a part-time job for these patients. It's three times a week. So anyhow, I thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah. And thank you, and we look forward to having you on the show in the near future. What's going on in this industry and the corruption? It's really not an unsolved mystery. We know exactly why they're doing it. It's very sinister and calculated.
It's the minority. It's the minorities. The minorities and the poor are the ones that don't have a voice.
Right.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.